afternoon, third service. How are we doing today? Awesome. So glad you're here. My name is Jason Giannotti. I have the incredible privilege of being the community pastor here at the Father's House. My wife and I have been here for about 7 years, and for the last year, we've been on staff here, and we are just loving what God is doing in Rochester. I'm not sure about you. A Greece campus in a couple of weeks. God is doing incredible things. If you're here for the first time, if you're watching online, we're so excited that you are here. And you're right in the middle of an incredible message series called The Greenhouse Effect, where we've been talking about this harvest analogy, this idea that what does it take to cause a seed to grow? And in the last couple of weeks, Dennis and Pierre have taught some incredible teachings on the fact that we have to be willing to surrender our lives. We have to be willing to grow in our lives if we want to see the harvest, see the fruit, see the benefit of the life that God intends for us to happen for us. Today we're going to be talking about what does it take to cultivate the conditions required to have the abundant life that God intends for you and I to live. You know, Jesus, when he came to this earth, a lot of people have different ideas about why he came and about what his intentions were. But Jesus actually told us exactly what his intentions were. And it's going to be on the screen. It's John 10:10. And it says this, and I want you to read this with me. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Jesus didn't come so that you could feel condemned or bad about yourself or to be judged. Jesus came so that you could have not just life, but an abundant life, an incredible life, a blessed life. That's his intention for you, and that's his intention for me. And you know what? When the author and creator of life says to me, I've got some ideas for how you can live an incredible life, I want to pay attention. And what we're going to do right now is we're just going to watch the first half of Jesus's How to Live an Abundant Life manual. He wrote this book for us. Well, he spoke it and somebody wrote it down. And we're going to watch the first half of the Abundant Life manual. Then we're going to talk about how he explains step by step how we can experience an abundant life. Let's look at the screens. So Jesus comes to earth. He promises all who hear his word that he has this abundant life for them. And I can imagine he's walking down a dusty road and he's got his followers with him, and he wants to explain to them how to have an incredible life, how to have the abundant life. And I imagine that he sees farms on either side, and he says, hey, I could use this story, this analogy of a farm. And he tells this story about the sower and how there's all different kinds of seed and all different kinds of soils. And he begins to explain how each different type of soil represents a different type of person and the things that they need to do in their lives to get themselves to this abundant life that God designed for us. And the first half is just telling the story. The second half, he goes through, and we're going to look at this step by step, his how-to manual on living this abundant life. Now, I like how-to manuals. About 6 years ago, I bought my first house and went to Home Depot and did what everyone does when you own a house, which is give them half of your paycheck, right? And if you're not laughing, it's because you don't own a house yet. and it's painful, but I'm buying all these things for my house, and I see this book, and it says Home Improvement 1, 2, 3, and I think to myself, there's the answer to all my questions. There's all these little home projects I want to do, and I open this thing up, and it's got pictures. I love pictures. I think I read every word and looked at every picture in here, and I actually went to this one page on how to hang a chandelier. And I thought, you know what, we're going to put a nice new chandelier. I don't know if we can get a nice close-up view. Do you see this lady's manicured French tip fingernails? If this lady can hang a chandelier, I'm hanging a chandelier, okay? I'm not hiring somebody to do that. And I looked at this, and I went line by line through it. And 6 years later, I have a book I paid $20 for, and I haven't had any benefit in my house from this book. I called my dad up, and I said, I need you to help me hang the chandelier. Having a how-to manual is only good if we read it and do the work required to implement what the how-to manual tells us to do, right? Just reading it accomplishes nothing. In fact, if all we do is read a how-to manual, we just wasted $20 and a whole bunch of time to go through it. And if all we do with Jesus's how-to manual is just read it and think, oh, that's a nice story, and apply none of it to our lives, we just wasted 30 minutes today. And so what we want to make sure happens when we look at a how-to manual is we want to apply the principles to our life. And so what we're looking at today is how do we take the truths that we learn and cultivate the conditions so that we receive a harvest in our lives. And you know what? We know that this is the way things work, and we know this from a very, very young age. I remember about third grade, I did the little science project that your teachers have you do. You probably did it too, where you get a styrofoam cup, you put the soil in it, and you put the seed down or the little bean in. How many of you have done that before, right? Or had kids that do it? And I remember taking this thing home, and I thought I had a pot of gold, and I set it on the counter, and I would look every day to make sure that thing was growing, and I would like move it so that there was no shadows on it, so it would get exactly the right amount of sun. I'd water that thing every day, because you know what? I didn't want to be the guy who cultivated like a yellow root that went sideways when I brought it back to school, right? I wanted to have the big plant with the big leaves. I wanted to have the harvest. As a third grader, I got this concept, and I was willing to cultivate the things that I needed to do to make that happen. As we get older, the stakes become a little higher, right? And we start to cultivate what we want to do for a career by taking certain classes or studying harder for certain tests than others. And then you graduate from school or college or an internship or a job placement. And then you realize, hey, I got to actually go out and get a job. And I remember the first time I wrote a resume, I struggled over words like, am I a self-starter or am I determined, right? Like that's going to make a difference about whether I get the job, which word I place in the resume. But I remember agonizing over it and trying to cultivate the perfect conditions so somebody would read that and go, we need to hire this guy. This is true in all areas of life. Think about our finances, right? We want to cultivate good financial health so later in life we're in good shape. We don't want to, you know, nobody's goal is to say, when I'm 60, I hope I have debt up to here and nothing cool to play with. Right? Like we all want to cultivate the conditions that will lead us to a healthy lifestyle in whatever aspect of life we're considering. This is true in our spiritual lives too. And the fact that you walked through these doors today indicates that there's something going on in your life where you're saying, actually, I want to kind of figure out this spiritual side of my life, and I want to get to the harvest that Jesus promises in the first half of his how-to manual. And people who want that kind of a life, want a spiritual life that has harvest and blessing, have to do the things in themselves that will cultivate the conditions that will cause growth in our spiritual lives. Now, this is the main point of the message. And if you get nothing else, I want you to write this down. If you got a pen and paper, write this down. If you don't have a pen and paper, pull out your cell phone and text this sentence to yourself, okay? The quality of the harvest is dependent on the quality of our cultivation. I'm going to say that again, and if you didn't write it down this time. The quality of the harvest is dependent on the quality of our cultivation. 14 years ago, 15 years ago, I believe, I met my wife. And I had some girlfriends before that, and I remember, you know, when you're dating, you see somebody and you think to yourself, could I have a good relationship with this person? And sometimes you look at the person and you're like, no way, right? When I met my wife, I remember I came around a corner and I saw her and I said, oh, this is going to be interesting. I would like to explore this. And when I got to hear her talk and got to hear her story and learn about her, I thought to myself, oh, yes, this is absolutely going to work. And so then I spent literally 7 years convincing her that she could feel the same way about me. I am very persuasive, and I am stubborn, and I persisted. And we've had a great marriage. We've had ups and downs. But do you know, when I met her, and I wanted a great marriage, wanting it accomplished nothing. I had to cultivate the conditions that would lead to the growth or the harvest of a great marriage. I had to deal with pride. I had to deal with selfishness. I had to deal with challenges that I posed to getting to the harvest. I had to deal with barriers in who I was so that I could have the harvest of a great marriage. You know that people with great marriages cultivate and push through the challenges because they value what's on the other side. People, you can clap for that. That's a truth. People who want to be physically fit and cultivate fitness, they do it because they value a healthy life that comes as a result of pushing through the pain of going to the gym or getting up early to run, right? People who want the benefits of a great spiritual life, the abundant life that Jesus promised is accessible to everyone, get there because they value what it takes to have it and are willing to push through to receive the abundant life. And this is where we pick up the second half of Jesus' story. So Jesus, he's pointing to the guy sowing. He says, all right, see how that's going on, the four different types of soil and the seeds going everywhere, and some of it's going to work and some of it's not. And then he zeroes right in, and he basically teaches us step by step how we can make sure that whatever the condition of our soil or our heart or our mind, there are next steps. There are simple things that we can do to make this soil of our hearts change so that it can be good soil, so that it can be a harvest. So if you want to read along with me here, Matthew 13, we're going to start in verse 18. It says this: hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word, say, here's the word. You're going to notice that Jesus repeats some phrases here. And anytime somebody repeats phrases, we want to pay attention to what they're saying, especially when that person repeating them is the God of the universe who's offering us an abundant life. So when anyone hears the word of the kingdom, what the word of? Kingdom. This is the word of God. That's another translation calls it the word of God. When anyone hears the word of God or the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one on whom seed was sown beside the road. The one on whom seed was sown beside the rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no firm root in himself. He is only temporary, and when affliction or persecution arise because of the word, immediately he falls away. And the one on whom the seed was sown among thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke out the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And the one on whom the seed was sown on good soil, this is the man who hears the word and understands it, and indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Everybody say harvest.
Harvest.
Look at the person beside you and say, you can have a harvest. We're going to break this down verse by verse and talk about what it takes to have a harvest. Now, before you freak out, we're not going to cover the whole thing today. In the last message, somebody said, I had like 5 minutes left and I'd only gotten to the second one and they were getting all worried. Next week, Pierre's going to pick it up with the second half of the story. And so you do not want to miss that teaching. But we're going to look at the first two types of soil. But before we do, I want to draw a little illustration on the board here. And there are four types of soil in this story, and we're going to represent them with four circles. And each of these types of soil has a character trait that has an impact. And each soil represents a type of person and the life that they have and the obstacles that face them as they seek to have a harvest. And every single one of us, if we have heard the word, and just so you know, the bad news is you've heard the word, so this now applies to you. So say to the person beside you, this is you. Okay, you're one of these four types of soil. So the first soil is hard soil. It says it's beside the road. The second soil is the rocky soil, and it's full of obstacles. The third soil is the thorny soil, and there's snares and things that can get in the way of growth. And then finally, the good soil is where the harvest is. And we're going to look at each of these, and here's the incredible thing about soil. The farmer can go and cultivate every type of soil so every type of soil can get to a harvest. A good farmer, a person who's willing to do the work, can get to the harvest regardless of the soil. So this is a very hopeful message. But as we go through this, what you're going to notice is that each of these soils, one of them is probably going to stick out to you and go, oh yeah, that's me. Or I remember when I was there. And we're going to talk about what are the barriers that prevent us from getting to the harvest. And we're going to talk about specific steps because Jesus lays out for us the exact kind of steps and the next thing to do to help us address the condition of our soil so that we can all achieve a harvest. So the first soil is the soil beside the road, the hard soil. So we're going to read just that verse 19. It says this, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand... The hard soil is representing people who hear the word, but they're like, huh? I don't quite get that. People who hear the word, and yet there's some kind of hardened exterior that prevents them from understanding the word. Now check this out. Look what happens. The evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown. Newsflash, Satan does not want you to understand the word of God. Jesus is offering you an abundant life. And Satan is going, no, I don't want that to happen. And he's going to do whatever it takes so that you don't experience that. And so there's this barrier that comes in, and we're going to illustrate this barrier with a line right here. And the barrier is understanding. If you do not understand the word of God, you can't push past from being hardened soil to the harvest that you may want to have. A couple of years ago, when we built our house, we thought to ourselves, wouldn't it be great to have a deck on the back of the house? And we could look out. The Black Creek runs right through our backyard, and we thought, oh, it'd be great to have a deck. So we went to the town to figure out what kind of permits and code there was. And the really friendly people at the town hall, they said, you have to dig the holes for each post, and this deck needed 7 posts. You had to dig them 46 inches deep. Well, that's really deep. So I did what obviously any first-time homeowner did. I went and bought a shovel because obviously I thought I could dig a 46-inch hole with a shovel, and it took me about 2 minutes to figure out I couldn't do that because right underneath the surface was all this crazy hardened clay and hard soil that it didn't matter how hard I dug at that thing, it wasn't coming out. So my dad and I went and rented this this big, huge two-man auger, and it had this drill. It was about this big, and on top of the drill sat an engine. And then there were these 2 poles on either side of it that we would hold, and we would turn the engine on, and it would start to shake, and it would start to dig, and slowly it would cultivate the condition of the soil so that we could pull out and pour the cement in. And I can remember, like, this was stinking hard work. Cultivating any soil is not easy. If it was easy, it would all be done for us. And we're sitting there, and it would hit rocks, and it would start shaking. We start getting blisters on our hands. Every, like, 5 or 10 minutes, we take a break. It took us, like, 60 minutes per hole. And so we're shaking. We take a break. And our hands are still shaking. It was so much work, man. That was miserable. It took 7 holes, about an hour a hole. It was like a whole brutal day of work. But here's the deal. If we didn't do that, the dream of a deck's not happening. If we didn't go and do the hard work of digging up the hard soil, it doesn't matter how badly we wanted that deck, it isn't happening. And if we are dealing in our spiritual life with hardened conditions, a hardened mind, a hardened heart, a hardened soul, then we can never get to the harvest. And so we have to do things that will soften our soil, soften our hearts. And I'm going to suggest just 3. So if you're feeling like, yeah, Jay, you're talking to me, the hard soil, I feel hard. Like there's something in my past that made me kind of bitter and hard, or you don't know the challenges that I'm facing right now. If you're hard in soil, there are simple steps that you can take, and they're not going to take a lot of effort, but will begin to soften the soil. And the first one is to read Jesus' word. The God of the universe came and he said, I want to tell you how to have a great life, and I'm going to have a bunch of people record it so anyone can read it. So my suggestion, if you're feeling like a hardened soil, is go home. Don't start in Genesis. That's hard. Start in Matthew, where we're reading today. Find Matthew. We're in chapter 13. Read chapter 14. See what it says. Keep reading and find out what Jesus' teachings are. And you know what happens when God's word comes into our hearts and we hear it? We begin to soften. Satan doesn't want this. He wants to take it away. And he would love for you to just have kind of a nice experience here, but not let his word penetrate your soul. So going home and choosing to just take the time to read the Bible is going to begin to soften the soil. But you know, just the same as reading this gave me great ideas, if that's all you do is read, then you're just going to have some great ideas. You have to come to a point where you put it into practice. And the way that we can put it into practice is by accepting what Jesus' word is true. So the first thing is to read. The second thing is to accept it. And it's actually not complicated. There's two steps the Bible tells us. Romans 10 and 9 tells us that if you confess, everybody say confess. That means to acknowledge. If you confess with your mouth, that means to say it out loud. If you confess that Jesus is Lord, if we verbalize, God, you are Lord, we do this when we sing. If you confess that he is Lord, that he is supreme in authority, that's the first step. That's pretty simple. If you just right now say, Jesus, you're the Lord of my life, you've covered step one. The second one is a little bit more difficult. It says to believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. What that means is to believe that his plan for you is good and it's life, it's abundance. And his plan for you involved him dying on the cross and resurrecting again to life. That one's a little bit harder, but if you can do those two things, then the Bible says you got a nominal chance of having a harvest. No. What's the rest of it say? You will be saved. There is no ambiguity in that statement. You don't have to wonder. If you confess that Jesus is Lord with your mouth and you believe in his plan for you, his death and resurrection, then the Bible's really crystal clear. The abundant life is yours for the taking. And when you believe that, you begin to allow the word of God to soften your hardened exterior and you begin to experience the harvest. So what I want to just illustrate this with is right under here, the way that we get past hard soil towards the harvest is to accept Jesus' plan for your life. We'll just put a little cross there. And then the next step, I'm going to put little waves here. You can tell I was great in arts class. Apologize for that, Mrs. Vandenberg. Baptism is a public statement that I believe in God's plan for my life. So once we accept it, the next step is to say, you know what, I'm going to do this weird thing. I'm going to get baptized, and we have a swimming pool that we put over there about once a month. Next week, we're going to have baptisms again. And it's just saying, I'm going to symbolize that I believe in Jesus' death and his resurrection, and I stand with Jesus. I publicly declare it. And you know what happens when we get baptized? Our heart continues to soften, and our exterior continues to soften to allow the word of God into our lives. And so if you're feeling like you're the hard soil and there's understanding difficulties and you're just going, this is hard. Maybe the next step is to read the Bible, to accept the teachings and to consider getting baptized. The next soil is the rocky soil, full of obstacles. Let's read what Jesus says about this in verse 20. The one on whom the seed was sown on rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. And when affliction and persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. In my backyard, we have a lot of different plants that spring up because the water's right there. And I like to be able to see the creek from my back deck. And every spring, up come these reeds that grow up and they kind of obscure the water. And so I'll go back in there. I remember the first year I went back in there, I kicked one of the reeds and just kind of fell over. And I'm like, wow, that's interesting. I kicked another one, it fell over. Actually, my daughter and I sometimes will go back in with two fingers. My four-year-old daughter can like pluck these reeds out of the ground. And they're like this big, but the roots are like that deep. And do you know that sometimes like a flood will come or a windstorm will come and it just knocks these suckers over? How many of you know that Jesus said, in this world you will have troubles? But take heart, I have overcome the world. Do you know that the troubles are going to come? And if you don't have roots, those troubles are going to knock you right over. The verse says that the rocky soil, that there are obstacles just below the surface that prevent the roots from going deep, and that yet we spring up like those reeds with emotion. And we experience the joy of coming to church and worshiping him. But how difficult or how hard would it be to come to church every week and to sit here and worship God, but then you go through your life and you don't experience the benefit of growing. You don't experience the benefit of roots that can withstand the troubles that may come. And right beside those reeds are trees that are 100 feet tall. I'm not exaggerating. My back, like way tall. And they're so big, some of them you can't even reach all the way around. And you know, those same floods come, and those same windstorms come, and these trees, they like quiver just a little bit at the top. You know, in this world, when a person has troubles that has deep roots, they still impact us. But if your roots are deep, man, no flood's going to knock you over. No attack of Satan is going to impact you. And so the question is, are you cultivating the conditions that will have deep roots? Because I want to have roots that prevent affliction and trials and struggles from coming. There's one more type of plant in my backyard, and I promise this is the last botanical reference, okay? For the 90% of you who didn't like science in school. And those are ferns. Ferns look kind of like reeds. Ferns grow up, they've got this big obstruction, and now I can't see my backyard or my back creek. So I remember going down and going, oh, I'm going to kick those ferns over. And the fern goes, boom, right back up. And I'm like, oh, I don't like you as much as the reeds. I like the reeds. I could get rid of them real easy. And I remember just kind of trying to like kick them out, and I was like trying to kick at the root. And finally, I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to reach down and pull it out. And I'm like pulling on this thing with two hands. I pulled the reed out with a couple of fingers, and this thing I cannot get out. So, you know, I did, you know, what any man would do. I got on my riding mower and I just mowed them all down. And I was like, sweet, now I can see the river. And you know, like a week and a half later, they pop back up. I want to be like ferns. If you cut me down, I want to pop back up. An oak tree, if you cut the oak tree down, it doesn't grow back because its roots are only deep. The ferns do something very interesting. The ferns grow their roots down and then they connect to all the other ferns. And when the ferns are connected, you could cut half of them down. They're going to grow back up because they're going to get nutrients from somewhere else. How many of you know that you cannot just grow your roots deep and be by yourself? You have got to, we just need to have connection. We need to have community. And if you feel like you are the rocky soil and you feel that just below the surface, there may be some obstructions. Because how many know we love to make the surface look great, but if you're like me, there's some stuff below the surface that I don't really necessarily want everybody to know. But if I'm connected to other people, when the difficult times come, I'm going to be able to be resilient and pop back up. And here's what's even better about connection. People can point out if they're close enough to you, hey, you got a rock there. I know everybody can't see it, but you got a rock there. Seven years ago when we first arrived, I got into a connect group, a small group with a bunch of weirdos because, right, all people are weirdos, right? And they probably thought, oh my gosh, who's this weird new guy? Right? I don't know what they were thinking. And it was awkward at first. But 7 years later, next to my wife, my best friend is Luke Thomas, one of the pastors here, and he was leading that group 7 years ago. And do you know what Luke and I are able to do with one another because our roots go both deep and they connect to one another? Sometimes he'll go, Jay, you got this ugly thing just below the surface. I see it because I'm close to you. Deal with it. Because if you don't deal with it, the roots aren't going to go deep and they're not going to connect. So if you and I are going to be able to get to a harvest and you're feeling like, yeah, there are some obstacles, maybe the next step for you is to consider joining a group and being in community with other people. I went to a steakhouse a while ago, and this was like 3 or 4 years ago, and the steak, and you probably had this experience before, the steak came and it was like black on the outside and bloody on the inside, and I'm like, I ordered medium, like I don't know what you are doing here. I sent it back to the chef and I was like hoping he didn't spit on it or something like that, and he brings it back and it's still like not any better. The third time, they send it back and they had cut the steak open. And they flipped it and grilled it. And I'm like, I don't think that's how it's supposed to work. Now, imagine after having that horrible experience, if I went home, I said to my wife, that's it. We're never going to a restaurant again. That'd be stupid, right? The next time we needed to celebrate something, we just went to a different restaurant. Now, that restaurant's not in business anymore. And I wonder why, right? But here's the reality. We don't throw out all restaurants if we have a bad experience. You may have had a bad experience opening yourself up to other people. You may have had a bad experience with a small group in a different church or maybe in our church. And you know what? I've had a bad experience with small groups too. But it's not okay to say, I had a bad experience with people, so I'm just going to isolate myself and be all by myself. You know what's going to happen in that situation is the rocks are going to prevent our roots from going deep and getting connected. And so what I want to encourage you is that if you're feeling like you might be the rocky soil, you're feeling that there are obstructions that are just difficult to deal with, maybe the next step, maybe the mechanism you can use to advance yourselves towards the harvest is to connect your roots to other people and connect your roots deep into the ground so that whatever comes your way, you're going to be able to get over it. And we have a group for everybody. I mean, there's over 100 groups in our church. They're in every town, every night of the week, every type of interest. Chris is going to come up in a little bit and talk about some of those details. But there is something there that could be the right next step for you. The key point here for the second soil is there's a barrier here, and it's roots. If you don't have them, you cannot get over to the harvest. And the solution not having roots is to grow roots. So I'm just going to draw a little tree. Again, my art skills are spectacular. With roots going deep, but roots also connecting over to other trees and other ferns. And when we have that, the ability that we then have is to progress past the obstacles towards the harvest that God intends for us to have. But just like having a manual that never got me any improvement in my house, just hearing this isn't going to accomplish anything in our lives. If we do not adjust our lifestyle, we will never be able to cultivate the conditions required for harvest. So what I want to challenge you in closing to do is not leave here as silly as I was with the manual. Don't waste 30 minutes coming and hearing a whiteboard and a talking head. I would encourage you, there's probably a next step that's like resonating with you. And maybe the next step that you need to take is just take the Bible and read it. If you don't have one, we can give them to you in Guest Central afterwards. Maybe the next step is to accept God's word and get baptized. Maybe your next step is to take the risk of letting other people in by connecting your roots to others. I'm not sure what it is, but I would encourage you again to pull your phone out and text it to yourself. Whatever you have to do, don't do this for me. Don't do this for Pierre Marlies. This is for you. Because Jesus is holding out an abundant life, a harvest. The promise was 100 or 60 or on the low end, 30% yield, 30 times yield. Like, that's a great deal. But it's only yours if you're willing to cultivate the conditions required for the harvest. The quality of your harvest is dependent on the quality of your cultivation. Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you for the wonderful people that are sitting here that are hungry for you, that are willing to spend part of their weekend to come and hear about you, to worship you, to praise your name. Lord, we all desperately want to harvest, and you have offered us the promise of abundant life if we're willing to cultivate the conditions of our soil so that we can take the next step towards becoming a follower of you, a surrendered disciple of Jesus Christ, to experience the abundant life that you have laid out for us. And so, Lord, I just ask that you would allow each person in this room to not leave without the conviction to take a simple next step, to cultivate hardened soil, to cultivate rocky soil, to cultivate the thorny soil, to cultivate whatever obstacles are in their way, so that their roots will go deep like the oak trees and connect like the ferns, so that you would realize in the lives of each of us the harvest that you have promised. And I ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Can we thank Jason? Incredible word.
God lets bad things happen to really good people.
God is distant and uninterested.
God is ashamed of me.
He wouldn't accept me the way I am.
God is controlling. He doesn't care if I'm hurting. He doesn't care about my pain. Where was God when I needed him the most?
I've heard people say that the thought of an all-loving, all-caring, all-accepting God is a ridiculous notion. But that's not the God we know. The God I wish you knew will always be beside you, loving you no matter what.
The God I wish you knew is a God you can count on.
He accepts you for who you are.
The God I wish you knew makes something beautiful out of something broken.
He frees you from everything you think holds you back.
The God I wish you knew always has the best in mind for you.
The God I wish you knew brings hope when all seems lost.
The God I wish you knew.